At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we're upping the benefits without upping the price. Introducing Magenta Max, now with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, get Netflix on us. Right now, pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $650. Only at T-Mobile.
Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. Up to 40 gigs high-speed tethering. $650 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Simmons support charges waived. Receive Netflix standard with two lines.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Summit here on Shooting the Sports-ish, where when being a 17-year-old yelling at a millionaire goes wrong.
Yeah, you said it, Cam. You got a 17-year-old kid who shows up at a football camp that Cameron Newton is there coaching at. And just does something that me as a coach, 35 years, I cannot stand. He shows his behind. And he's, to me, completely disrespectful. It's, you can see that it is probably an attention-seeking activity as far as social media is concerned. So, guys, y'all start running with it. I'm just going to – it gets under my skin. Really.
So, I actually wanted to ask on this particular subject to specifically Chris – because you've been the kid at the camp where the athletes showed up to help coach. Like, you've literally been in this scenario. Mm-hmm. Does this compare to anything you've ever witnessed at a camp such as this before in any sport that you did these camps with?
No, thank God. I was, like, the last group of eight, like, I guess you can call it generation, where being viral famous wasn't really a thing. So you didn't have nobodies who won't amount to anything in their sport just go to a camp to try to make something off a video clip. I've never seen anything like this, but it's just a sad state of what, unfortunately, social media has done to the world.
Go ahead.
This kid, from what I can find, is a absolute nobody in the world of football. And you're going to sit there and talk trash to a college Heisman winner, a college national champion, a number one pick in the NFL, a NFL MVP, a man who's dominated at his position, and you're going to talk trash to him when he's taking time out of his day and his busy schedule and him trying to find a team next year to be able to live, and you're going to talk trash to him when he's trying to impart wisdom on you?
There's been no talk of his performance or anything at this camp, whether he's done anything positive there. He certainly didn't build his resume at this camp. Let's put it that way. All he was there for to be clickbait. He would get something for social media to be clickbait. That's all he wanted.
There are a couple of interesting topics here, and I agree with everything you guys said. We'll start there. But the interesting topics are, this is a situation that we find ourselves in, and it really doesn't matter the age, I don't think necessarily. So for sure, the three of us don't want this to be like, look at this generation and that kind of thing, because I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it's the idea of taking advantage of being able to talk to somebody in a manner that you wouldn't if nobody or no cameras were around. Mm-hmm. There's no way that kid is saying that if he and Cam are just standing there by themselves, right?
Yeah, but
cameras were around, he was protected. He was safe because a camp counselor cannot touch a camper, kind of thing in that sense. Like, there was going to be no physicality. He knew, like, this kind of went through his head a little bit. This was calculated for sure. Mm-hmm. And that kid knew, and it, you know, we've seen grown adults do it in other situations, but the kid definitely knew, like, there was going to be no backlash physically in that moment to him, and he took advantage of it.
To be able to do that, though, Cam, that what allows that to work in a young man's mind like that? Why would he process something like that and go through the steps saying, okay, I won't be hurt because there's cameras all around, there's this? It comes down to a few things. It comes down to some upbringing. Because I'll be damned if I would have ever talked to one of my peers. Oh, well, he's not a peer of mine. He's actually, He's a professional athlete, somebody that I would look up to and admire, want to learn from. I'll be damned if I'd talk to him that way.
Hell, I was a young man. I wouldn't even talk to my best friend like that.
I wouldn't talk to my dad. I wouldn't talk to any of my coaches that way. Mm-hmm. So this was definitely contrived. It was definitely thought out, and it was for effect. But it also reflects on that kid and who he is and what he's allowed to do maybe in his home, in his private life, in his personal life.
It's that's very possible. I mean, that's definitely something. Now, the kid wanted to be famous, and he got famous. Now, there's two ways you can look at it. One is this is going to be a lot of red flags on him as he tries to continue his football career. Two is we live in such a fast-paced society that people aren't going to remember who this kid is whenever he graduates high school. But the other interesting part of this was people have taken shots at Cam. Analysts and of the such have taken shots at Cam for not being durable, getting injured, those kinds of things, right? That deal directly to what he does for a living. I have yet to really see anybody go after Cam for him as a person or how he conducts himself off the field. And I don't think I'm missing any stories or anything. He's very giving of his time. I know my brother is a Panthers fan, lives in Charlotte. Cam gave a ton of his time to things and people and organizations in the Charlotte area. I know he started to do that in New England this year. But a guy that you don't think comes to mind is somebody that's a jerk that would kind of walk into a scenario like that.
Yeah, every story you hear, he's like the nicest dude out there. He's very giving. He's very considerate. I mean, you see, there's countless videos that I would retweet on Twitter of him hanging out with a fan, disabled fan. One that comes to my mind was a disabled fan his last year in Carolina, where he gave him his jersey and his cleats and hung out with him after practice and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is a sad state of affairs, you'll never hear that on the – you'll never turn on SportsCenter and see that.
No.
What sports media has become is we're just going to tear down our athletes because – my name is so-and-so, and I played high school JV basketball, and I get paid to say stupid stuff. Yeah. He's an incredible guy. You read about his philanthropic work and what he's done. And I'll say this right now. He's a better human being than I am because that kid would have been gone.
If it was my camp, I'd have bounced him out of there because no time.
I would have had to had one of my Wranglers holding me back because, A, I would probably punch the kid straight in the face.
Right.
But he would have been out of there. I would have looked to the camp counselor and said, he's out. He doesn't get his money back. He doesn't get anything else. He's out.
Yeah.
Now I want you to read. I want you to notice one of these things that this kid said after the fact. He said, as a football player, I let my competitive edge get the best of me. And it was a huge miscommunication. I think you communicated your point fairly well.
Who were you competing against? The NFL MVP dressed in street clothes, standing on the sideline. Was that who you were competing against? Right.
What was the competition?
Were you guys lining up to do a 40 after this and you were trying to get in his head? Like, where were we here?
And see, again, this goes back to what the sports media has done. The sports media has put this into kids like this kid's head where you can call a player trash. You can say he's terrible. And the athlete's just supposed to take it.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, these guys are humans.
Yeah.
A lot of them probably don't check their social media because all you idiots out there who have never been in this scenario are coming at them saying they're trash. Has Cam Newton been at his level that we know he can play at for the last 3 years? No. Sure. Has Cam Newton taken a tremendous beating over the past 10 years in the league?
Yes.
Cam Newton on his day is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't care what anybody says because we've seen him on his day, what he did.
Yeah.
And for a nobody kid to say that, it's just mind-boggling to me. And I don't want to hear as a football player competitive. No. That's you trying to get clout.
Yeah, I'm competitive. The three of us are as competitive as we need to be, and I would never in my life have – I've gone to plenty of basketball camps, would never in my life have pulled that out on a counselor.
I mean, and listen, I've talked copious amounts of crap. I prided myself at talking crap to the first baseman and then the second baseman and the shortstop and the third baseman and even the catcher. But I was able to back it up. And it wasn't just, you're crap. It was jabs like, have him throw that fastball inside one more time, and then I'd hit a double or something like that, something small. But most of the time, I knew the kids I was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
This kid is talking crap, not competing against anybody, not in a competitive sense. Yeah. He's just being, and excuse my French, a dick.
Sure.
There's a difference between talking crap in a competitive situation and being a dick.
Yeah, and to lead with you're a bum, it was bold. Amongst all of the colorful vocabulary I think we could use to finish that sentence, we're going to go with bold.
If being a bum is
we're gonna
what
go with
Cam Newton has achieved, I want to be a bum.
I want to be a bum.
Yeah, I'm all in for being a bum.
Yeah,
I'm indeed. All about it. The kid also said, it was in the midst of the moment. What moment?
What moment?
And moment. I realized how a lot of you took it as disrespect. Well, first off, learn to use that word. That word is thrown around so terribly, like the word epic. People use the word epic in a completely wrong scenario every day. Epic wasn't used in back when I was younger. Epic was when something cataclysmic happened.
Hiroshima.
That was an epic event. Not a football game, isn't it? No, not hardly. But it says, I realize how you took it as disrespect. No, you were disrespectful.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been, and you were. So it wasn't I took it as disrespect. You were a disrespectful little brat is what you were.
It wasn't a misconstrued. It was you were just being a dick.
I love that. I love the non-apology apology.
Right. It's
like this kid's got a better chance of being a politician than an athlete with the way he sent out that I'm sorry message.
But here's the thing. Cam, you touched on it about there was no immediate threat to him.
Yeah.
There's already been enough threat for him as it is as a football player.
Oh,
any name that if his name comes off any NCAA coach's desk, whether it be D3 to D1, that video will be in a file from the recruiter saying, you might want to watch this first.
I sure hope so.
And as a coach, I don't care how talented you are. If you're talking to an NFL MVP that way, how are you going to talk to me?
Yeah.
Someone who's not on that level.
Either that or just the positive spin of it, because the kid is 17 and was looking to make some bones off of his name. It's either that or he figures out very quickly how wrong he was. And he starts to flip his script a little bit and kind of start flipping his words. And you just hope that for his sake, he needs to hope and know that when he gets to a college coach's desk and they show that tape, he has a really good explanation how he's changed since that moment was recorded. He needs that because he won't get in really any other way.
Well, Cam, Chris was saying, came out and was, to me, he was a better man than I was in that situation. That's for sure. He said, look, I'd like to speak to the young man's father because I want to see what has motivated him to come to this camp. Did you want to come here and compete and make your stock elevate, learn something? Mm-hmm. Or did you want to come here to try to be an overnight sensation? What did you want? And he said, I wanted to sit down and talk with the guy's father just to find out why. And he said, make no mistake about it. A lot of my job, a lot of my life is to impact kids. And that's the truth in a positive way. That's what I do.
Yeah. I mean,
that sounds like Cam.
Like I said, Cam Newton is, people give him stick. And has his play been up to what we give him the stick. We're critics of his play. How do you think he feels?
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at athletes now. At the end of the day, you got to remember they're humans. I think people forget that because we look at them as they're like superheroes. But at the end of the day, what people say about them is going to affect them. Mm-hmm. So, and look, I mean, we're sitting here talking 13 minutes about this kid. He got what he wanted.
Yep.
And it's a shame. It's a shame that we've got to spend 13 minutes on a 17-year-old kid who did not go and make any sort of impact at a camp other than running his disrespectful mouth.
And you know the sad thing? There are kids at that camp who probably balled out and put on a show that you won't hear about.
Overshadowed now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's our society. That is social media. And that is the shame of it all. And Cam, we always used to joke Chris all the time. It was kind of joking, but it wasn't. It was, we'd always say responsible media. That's what we are.
Yep.
And it's the truth. I'm going to say the truth regardless if it hurts, if it's stupid, ignorant, like last
controversial, last, whatever.
Yeah, like last week, we had a overreaction Monday on baseball.
Yeah,
and quite frankly, I embarrassed myself because I wasn't prepared. But that's what overreaction's about—just off the cuff stuff. But I gotta admit, I gave up on baseball for this very reason many, many years ago when the Washington Senators left Washington. When free agency took the turn that it took to where people don't have to honor contracts, where a player can get up in a manager's face and say, I want out because I don't like you and not honor their contract. I gave up on baseball. I love the game. I hate the politics of it. And for me, that was not responsible media for me last week, but it reminds me so much of this scenario that it's not responsible for the media to give the time that they do. I think Cam Newton should be commended for holding his water and being a good man and saying, I'd like to speak to your father, find out why you're here.
I mean, yep. Pat McAfee said it the best. He's a better man than I am because I would have whipped that kid's ass.
Yeah.
Words directly from Pat McAfee. Yeah. So,
all right, let's get on a more positive note here, guys. Let's talk about the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians and the coaching staff that he's put together. Yeah. The most diverse, dynamic, and interesting staff that exists in the NFL now or ever. So take it away, fellas.
Well, really, this one was about the quote that he had this week. And somebody was asking him about him and his staff. And Arians told his staff as he was hiring them on that if anybody on his staff missed a child's game or recital, that he would fire them on the spot. And the reason why he said that is because he said, I've been in this game for so long that those recitals and sports days, they're a finite amount. Those don't happen all the time. And once they're gone, you can't get them back. And he was like, I live with a little bit of regret because of the things that I miss from my kids. And so he made it mandatory. He made it mandatory that if a coach at any level, OC, DC, all the way down, had a child that was in a sport or a recital that day, they could not come to work. They had to go there. And he made it mandatory and worked it in and said, I will fire you. And I amongst all the things that we talk about, such as what we just talked about that led the show, we gotta have at least a moment of time for Bruce Arians and the culture that he's trying to build and what he's trying to teach. And the guys that he's hiring are younger than him. Most of them are, not most, I won't say most, but a lot of them are first-time fathers or younger kids because there is an age gap between the two of them. And Arians is stepping in as basically a, like, don't do what I did kind of thing. Make sure your priorities are right. And I just so appreciated it, and we had to highlight it. We had to. I thought it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, his staff, the diversity that's on that staff, did he go out and intend to hire black men, black women, women? Did he intend to? Yes. But he said it was not by design. I hired the most qualified people. And I don't care what color, what language they speak. If they're a teacher and they're qualified and they know what they're doing, they work hard, they got a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and I admire the heck out of that. Because I lived through, you know, the 60s, 70s and saw all the wrongs that were trying to be righted that still today some of them aren't. But what he's done is Bruce Arians is completely colorblind, completely. He's colorblind. He's genderblind. He doesn't care. He wants a qualified individual who wants to work hard at the job and do a great job of teaching. That's what he wants. And that's what he's got with his staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what he is going to do and the job of a head coach is to obviously win is goal number one, but a secondary goal is to put his staff in a position to get better jobs. And right now he's putting guys on both sides of the ball in positions to move up in the coming years because of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of his big things. Chris, go ahead.
And he hired, and he also prides himself on not only hiring incredible coaches, but people who love to teach, people who love to teach the craft. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at someone like Todd Bowles, who, you know, the best D coordinator in the league probably, was a pretty good head coach, but just in a bad situation. You take what Jamal Adams, who all pro safety, one of the best safeties to come out of the SEC probably ever with his play at LSU, when he said, "Coach Bowles taught me more about football in like 2 weeks than I've ever learned in my life," that tells you. Mm-hmm. Byron Leftwich, from what I've read about him, is an incredible mind for the game. And the sessions that you read about him and Brady and Arians sitting down, just insane. So he hires great people, great coaches, but people who love to teach. And sometimes you don't get that with coaches. Sometimes you get the information dump guy who doesn't make it easy for you.
You know, he said a lot of his drive is too. He's 68 years old. He said he didn't get his first real shot until he was 60. And he said that pissed him off. It really agitated him that he had gone through all the coaching experience, all the things that he was an assistant coach with the Steelers when he won a Super Bowl. That was never mentioned. But 60, he got his shot when Chuck Pagan was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And he took over for them, did a great job. Then he finally got his first head coaching gig with Arizona. And he said he took it personally. So what he was going to do is he was going to afford opportunity to those who should have opportunity sooner than they would get them in the old traditional way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out by picking the best people available, as he said, he is the only team in the NFL with all coordinators are black. The offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. Defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles. Special teams coordinator, Keith Armstrong. And the run game coordinator, assistant head coach, who Arian said he wouldn't have taken the job at Tampa Bay had this man not been available, Harold Goodwin. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a young lady. Her last name is Javadafar. She is – he says it. She's overly qualified for this position. Morel Javadafar, she is the physical therapist, performance physical therapist, and strength coach. She is the child of an Iranian woman who fled from the Iranian Revolution in the 80s. The girl grew up in New York, Queens, and she holds a doctorate in physical therapy from New York Medical College. She worked as a performance physical therapist in the Washington, D.C., Virginia area. After playing college basketball at Pace University, it's not easy to get in Pace. You've got to be a very bright individual to go to Pace. And this girl, Arian said, she's overqualified. The other young lady on the staff, she's a four-year player in the semi-pro league for women. She was a defensive lineman in that league. Her name is Lori Locust. She's a mother of two boys, semi-professional football. Then she moved, got an internship with the Baltimore Ravens. She coached summertime with the Bucks quarterbacks coach, Kevin Ross, the cornerbacks coach. And she was a defensive line coach for the Birmingham Alliance of American Football. This woman has traveled a path to get to where she's at, and the men respect her because they don't walk up and say, "Coach, I need, show me, teach me." And these women, these men are all perfectly capable of doing that. And they showed how good of a job they did this year by winning the Super Bowl with a very diverse yet very talented staff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. But wanted to show Bruce Arians love. I can just appreciate when somebody wants to come in and make sure that everybody has their priorities on right. And especially somebody that's just been in the game for so long.
Yeah. It's a shame that, you know, I hate the fact that you still hear the word, the black quarterback. When's the day going to come when it's the quarterback? I don't see color with my kids. I don't see color with players. I don't see Cam Newton as the black quarterback. I don't see it. I see him as he's the quarterback. That's it. That's all I know. He's a player. He's a guy. He wants to learn to be better. It's not the black quarterback. I can't wait for that day to disappear.
It would be nice.
It would. All right. Want to swing on over to basketball now, guys, and project potentially what may happen this season with basketball?
Sure.
All right. How about let's stack up your top four in the Eastern Conference, your top four in the Western Conference. In other words, kind of put together a bracket, what you see in the playoffs. What do you think is going to happen?
All right. One moment here.
So if we're doing top four in each.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead with start with the Eastern Conference.
All right. So this is how you think I see it playing out, 1 through 4.
Well.
Or do you want me to take from now?
Why don't you say what you saw, what was projected potentially at the beginning of the season, and then what's played out now?
Well, I mean, I remember at the beginning of the season, it was everybody was saying it's the Bucks again. You know, you got the 2-time MVP, you got the Defensive Player of the Year, Giannis leading them. They're going to be the one seed. They've struggled. I think last time I checked, they lost 5 straight in a row. I think they're on a losing streak currently right now. Or they were on a losing streak. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're 5-5 in their last 10.
Yeah. Then it was the Sixers and then the Nets because they wanted to see how KD was coming back. The Pacers, kind of a surprise team. I didn't know. I don't think anybody saw them being this high. The Celtics were up there too, and they have not played well.
They haven't.
Basketball is very interesting right now. You have teams going on insane runs that you wouldn't think. You have favorites struggling, and it's not like the, it's just a game in the regulars. It's like, these are big problems. So it'll be interesting to see once we get closer, especially with the 7 through 10 play-in games. With this new format, I think it's the team that gets the hottest before the postseason. You know, if you could have, you know, a team like Miami right now, Eastern Conference champions, played in the finals. They're at 10 in the Eastern Conference. I don't think anybody saw that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
You know, this is going to be an odd year anyway, because you're coming out of COVID, a shortened season, a season that was pushed back 90, 100 days after the start of the season. Then you have the shortest offseason in history. What was the offseason? 45 days?
Depending on which team you were.
Yeah, something like that. And now you're back in full swing in the regular season, still in the midst of the pandemic. It's going to be odd. It's going to be trying.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think I'll say for my top four, I think Brooklyn ends up the top seed in the East. I just don't think anybody can score with them for the rest of the regular season. So I'd have Brooklyn 1. I have Philly 2. Milwaukee 3. And then I'll take Boston is the 4 seed. I think Boston has too much talent and too good of a coach to not figure out how to be a 4 seed in the East right now.
They're not playing like that at the moment. I like the Bucks. I like the Heat. Yeah. I like the Sixers. And the Celtics are scaring me. Toronto is not playing up to what they should, but it's probably going to be Boston for the 4. All 4. I'm not seeding them at any time right now because it's in such a state of flux right now, but those are the 4 I like out of the East.
Miami worries me to not even make the playoffs.
That is true.
I mean, they could be the 10 seed and lose in the play-in game, or they could finish the year at 11.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know with them. Or they could run the table and be like a 5 seed, which I don't think they're going to do. But Miami, just whatever's happening there with them right now, they're 7-3 in their last 10. So they're starting to figure something out. Now, if they can parlay that into another 7-3 or a 6-4 in the next 10 games, they're going to get somewhere. But it's just what they have going on right now is just tough.
It is. And Chris was saying it too, because of this odd year. You know how the NHL always plays out, that it's the hottest team going into the playoffs that seems to always either get to and win the Stanley Cup. I feel that that's much the same way, like Chris said, with the NBA this year, because of last year and this year, the extraneous circumstances surrounding the season.
Yeah. If I had to pick my top four, cause I don't even think I gave it in a roundabout way. I think I'd go Sixers, Nets, Bucks, and then 4 for me is really a toss-up between 3 teams. And one of these teams, I can't believe I'm going to say.
I'm in.
I think it's the Raptors.
Yeah.
The Celtics.
Sure.
And the New York Knickerbockers.
Let's go.
The New York Knickerbockers. Yes.
The thing that scares me about the Celtics is Kemba Walker is bad right now.
Yeah.
And he has been pretty much for the season. I mean, you're talking about a guy career who shoots 42, 36, 83. He's up from the line. He's up on the line from 83 to 91. He's down to 34%, which is around league average, so that's not terrible. But he's down to 37% from the field.
Yeah.
He doesn't look the same. I think he's going to drag Boston down.
Well, go ahead.
And the Pacers, I don't see them having the staying power. I think they're – I don't think they have that guy that – Sabonis is good. Brogdon is good. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they have that guy who can grab the game by the throat and take it over. Kind of like you have with the other teams. Like the Sixers have Embiid and Simmons. The Nets, they have three of the top seven players in the league. The Bucks, even though I could be controversial in saying this, Giannis shouldn't be in the MVP talk at all this year. And he's lucky to have won the last two because the guy can't shoot. And I think teams are starting to figure that out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that I was going to say something about an earlier point, but I have since lost it. So, yeah, the Giannis one is weird because people keep referring back to when he, like, had the big dunk or the big game and he, like, faked putting the crown on his head.
Yeah.
And he's won an MVP since then, but he hasn't really done anything else.
They were the favorites, and
That's what I was going to say. I mean, he's not made it to an Eastern Conference Finals yet, right, since doing that. And the other thing about Boston is I wouldn't be as worried with Kemba right now if it was a small stretch. But this Kemba dates back to last bubble.
And
he struggled all throughout the bubble. Even finishing the regular season, he was a glaring struggle in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it has not seemed to let up in 31 games for them into the new season. So now we're definitely in an area of concern. Great concern, I would say.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Giannis is an incredible player. It's just the whole, and I remember the beef because it was so childish, the whole James Harden, well, I wish all I could do was drive and dunk, is starting to turn out to be true.
Yeah, who knew Harden?
He's a great player, but if he wants to continually dominate the league, I think he's going to have to really put an effort into his shot mid-range, in the post, and from three, because if I'm playing him, I'm giving him the Ben Simmons treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm letting Giannis shoot from three with joy on my face in the same way everybody who plays the Heat lets none shoot from three with joy on their face.
Yeah.
All right, let's swing over to the Western Conference, guys. And the first thing we had mentioned a lot of times is this odd season and a few disappointments. And for me, one of the disappointments right now in the West is Dallas. I really don't know what's going on there. And it kind of scares me. I don't know if they're going to make it. I hope they make the playoffs because they're a talented bunch. Really are. Playing pretty good last year. But this year is sad, so – Western Conference, Cam, why don't you go ahead and start with the Western Conference side?
Yeah, Dallas is tough. It seems like from back channel noise that they're looking to deal Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how happy they're going to be because they're not going to be able to deal him for the amount that they paid for him. So they're going to have to sell him under the price that they want to. The question is, can they find a willing buyer in which they're going to get something in return back that's worth it? So Dallas definitely a struggle. Denver is a struggle. They're a 7 seed right now. I think a big struggling team that probably isn't being talked about a lot, but I think should be, is Sacramento. I think a lot of people were expecting Sacramento to make a leap. And right now they're just kind of operating as the same Sacramento team that we get every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're a game or so, a couple of games under the 10 seed, which would get them into a play-in game. So there's still a chance there, but really wanted to see them make a leap. And they haven't done that. And that's kind of frustrating because they have good young talent. They've got the playmakers that can have a playoff run, and would like to see them make that leap. I love what Halliburton's doing in Sacramento right now, though. He's playing really well. A lot of fun to watch. I think my top four seeds are going to be the same four that are the top four in the Western Conference right now, I think with a little tweak. I like Phoenix as the four seed. I like the Clippers as the three seed. I like the Lakers as the two seed. And I think Utah ends up keeping the one seed. With the Lakers right now and AD's down, they're a little out of, you know, out of sorts. At some point, they'll probably figure out that they're going to be a two or three seed and maybe throttle down a little bit just to save some legs. That's kind of the norm. It's nothing out of sorts. So that's not anything to, you know, think crazy of. I think Phoenix is playing well enough to keep that distance between them and Sacramento and Portland, who are 5 and 6. And then I think the Clippers are just going to, you know, do what the Clippers do, and they're going to win well enough in the regular season to be a top three seed. But I truly think that the Jazz are going to get hot. I don't think anybody's going to try and catch them, especially if they get on another hot streak over the next 10 games. And I think, you know, they're 9-1 in their last 10. If they go 9-1 in their next 10, I think everybody might start kind of throttling down a little bit and just playing for 2 through 4.
Yeah, going to be tough to catch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry. If I was going through 1 through 4, I agree with Cam. The only team I could see making a move up into the top four would be a team that, in my opinion, is one of my disappointments of the year, and that's the Nuggets.
Denver.
They're currently the 7 seed. They're 17-14. You know, coming out of the bubble, everybody's saying, oh, you know, Jamal Murray, next NBA superstar, the way he played in the bubble, he was playing great. He was going shot for shot against LeBron in the series.
Sure.
And I was a little hesitant on that. Going into the bubble, these young kids, I was saying this is like an AAU game for them. There's no fans there. They're not going to have that pressure tense scenario that you would with a packed house.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the young kids thrived under that. Not saying Jamal Murray's having a bad year. He's having probably the best year of his career. But, you know, he's only averaging 21. You would want that to be mid to high 20s. Jokic is having to do all the work. The other three teams that are struggling, obviously you guys already touched on the Mavericks, but two other teams I had high hopes for this year were the Memphis Grizzlies and the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And they're currently the 10-11 seed.
Mm-hmm.
The West is so weird because the Utah Jazz are on a different planet right now. But when you look at them on paper, you go,
how? Right.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying a center stupid money for production you would want more of. You would want Embiid's type production with that money. Donovan Mitchell is a stud, don't get me wrong. And Jordan Clarkson is having a phenomenal year. I don't think they'll be able to keep the one seed. I think the Clippers or the Lakers, if they can get back healthy, are going to take it. Mm-hmm. But I see that four staying the same for the most part. The Suns are a surprise to me, more so than the Jazz. People don't talk about Chris Paul the way they should, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, you hear all the greatness about LeBron, and rightfully so, but Chris Paul, I mean, this is his what? He was drafted in 2005. Yeah, his first years were 2005. He's been in the league for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone who's a small point guard, like he is 6 foot is being generous, I believe.
Yeah.
And what he's done for that team who just needed that veteran leader is amazing. But yeah, I think the four that are there now, the Jazz, Clippers, Lakers, Suns, will be there. I think both LA teams could jump the Jazz, but I think that's the four that you'll see be in the top four going into the postseason.
And see, y'all have addressed everything on that side of the board for me too. I'm the Jazz, the Suns, the Lakers, the Clippers, hoping that Portland and Denver will get their stuff together in Dallas and it can, you know, make a little bit of noise, we hope, but who knows? It doesn't look good right now, but I think those four are the solid four in the West. Jazz, Suns, Lakers, and Clippers.
Well, here's another thing, too. The team that is bracketed by all these teams we're talking about, the San Antonio Spurs are quietly the 5th seed in the West.
Insane. Aren't they always? Insane. Aren't they always quietly?
But solid? These past couple years, they have struggled big time.
Yeah, they have. They have.
And for them to be the 5 seed, I projected them to be like 11 through 14. I thought this was going to be a huge rebuild. I thought Pop was going to be like, you know what? I've had a great run. I think I'm going to call it here. But yeah. for them to be the five seed, that's yeah. that's impressive.
You want to know what the current strength ratings of the teams are right now at this season? Mm-hmm. 1, the Clippers. 2, Utah. 3, Milwaukee. 4, Brooklyn. 5, the Los Angeles Lakers. 6, Denver. 7, Philadelphia. 8, Boston. 9, Phoenix. 10, Toronto. 11, Miami. 12, Portland. 13, Indiana. 14, Atlanta. 15, Dallas. 16, San Antonio. Golden wow. State, 17. New Orleans, 18. Charlotte, 19. And the New York Knickerbockers, 20. You did not hear the name of the Memphis Grizzlies there. You did not hear Sacramento. You did not hear OKC or Houston or Detroit, because they're down at the bottom right now as far as the current strength ratings are concerned.
Yeah. That's interesting, to say the least. My sleeper team for the top four in the West, it's got to be the Warriors.
I think so, too. I mean,
Curry's on another level right now. And it's – I love – don't get me wrong. I love Damian Lillard. I do. I think he's the most underrated superstar in the league, and he's starting now to get the recognition. But I think people need to pump their brakes when they say Lillard is better than Curry.
Sure.
I think it was the recency bias of what Damian's done.
Yeah.
But Curry has come out and said, I'm still that dude.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you there. I think Golden State was is a good sleeper for a top four. James Wiseman in a per 36 is averaging 21-10-2 with a 50-40-60 split. Now, big man's got to get better at the free throw line, but he's a rook.
He's a rook,
but yeah. He's playing super well. And everybody is one of those things where everybody talked about it before the draft, so nobody can come out and be like, I told you so. But just that is the perfect big for what Golden State wants to do on a nightly basis. If you had to craft him, it is James Wiseman.
Yeah.
Or that type of athlete. And it's just perfect. He's fallen into the right space. He's playing really well. I'm with you, Curry. Curry's the guy. I think people can say that Damian Lillard is an I think people can say that Damian Lillard is an underrated all-time point guard, and I would give you that argument. But that was all you will get from me between them and Steph. But it's gonna be really interesting. Real quick, we're not gonna spend a lot of time on it. This is a pop quiz, so none of you know this is coming.
Pop.
Speaking of pop, that's actually a great segue. Pop retires. Who do you fill his chair with?
Becky Hammon.
Becky Hammon.
It's simple.
It should be.
I was thinking Becky, or you throw a lot of money at Spo, and you bring Spo in.
I think there's also somebody who sat on that bench that you would throw a lot of money at.
You're gonna go with him?
Tim Duncan.
Big fundamental. Timmy D.
It's got to be Becky Hammon or Tim Duncan. I think Spo is a lifetime Heat guy because of what he's done, and he's worked from video analyst all the way up.
Yeah, not mad at him for it.
Yeah. We talk about James Wiseman. Here's something that I feel like doesn't get talked about enough. Mm-hmm. One of the most underrated superstars to ever play this game. James Wiseman's built out of that mold, and that's Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
When I look at James Wiseman, I see a more athletic version of Chris Bosh. Now,
that's saying a lot.
When Bosh was in Toronto, he was a freak of nature, and he was still very athletic with the Heat.
Yeah.
But Wiseman, it's this new generation of athlete coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Bosh does not get the credit he deserves as being one of the all-time greats in this league.
Chris Bosh is the reason why Miami worked, and I will go to my grave with
that. He was the second most important player on that team behind LeBron.
Yeah, he was the Pippen to that squad, very much so.
He wasn't even the Pippen.
And people
I'm
say,
not comparing him to Scottie Pippen. I'm saying
but even in that team. Mold, he wasn't even the Pippen. He was the next guy. Mm-hmm. But he changed.
He was the worm.
He changed everything about what he. And this could be a rant for hours and hours. Yeah. So we're not going to do that. But he changed everything he needed to do. Him and Kevin Love are the last two guys I can think of that changed everything they did to go help a team win a ring.
Yeah, and when I say he's the second most important, I mean Wade, one of the top five shooting guards of all time. Don't get me wrong, one of the greatest players to ever play. But he was streaky, and he was hurt. You didn't know what you were going to get. With Bosh, you knew you were getting about 15, 13, two blocks, hustle plays, assists, clutch threes.
Every game.
Yep.
Absolutely. There. All right.
He always showed up. All right, guys. We started with a controversial statements being made by a youngster who doesn't know better. Let's move into controversial statements made by somebody who really should have known better. Yeah. And that being the Seattle Mariners president, CEO, Kevin Mather. Or is that ex-CEO now? Yay.
Yeah. Man, you gotta know. You just have to know you're being recorded.
Jeez.
And you can't go to a Rotary Club and spend your entire time talking about how you're overpaying these foreign players and you're tired of them not knowing the English language. And you just can't do that, you know?
Man, oh man. He put a number 17 tennis shoe in his mouth that night. It was humiliating for the team, for ownership. The players are probably getting a hell of a chuckle out of it. But still, the players that were talked about in such a fashion that, God, he was just blatantly ignorant.
Well, and the tough
of what to say and what not to say.
100%. And the tough part is, coach, and you know this as being a coach, and Chris, you know this as a player. Somebody in the front office says something stupid, and now all of a sudden the coach has to run into the dugout or has to run into, you know, the locker room and go, wait a minute. He wasn't speaking for all of us. Mm-hmm. And they catch the wrath because they already fired the idiot that said what he said on camera. So now the coaches have to catch the brunt of it. Now you got to take on all that fire and try and calm those storms and put out all those fires.
Yeah. It just complicates the locker room, that's for sure, especially if these guys take it personally. But hopefully overall, they'll look at it and say, he was just being ignorant, and he really doesn't know what the heck he was talking about.
Chris, you're chomping.
Here's the thing, and I'm gonna start with this because I find this funny.
Yeah.
The Rotary Club. Here's the definition straight from Google, straight from their Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. Rotary International is an international service organization whose stated purpose is to bring together business and professional leaders in order to provide humanitarian service and advance the goodwill and peace around the world.
Wow. Amen. Did he do any of that?
Amen.
And here's my thing. If you're a player that got named one of the minor leaguers, you're filing a grievance.
Have to,
because you're sitting there and you're going, he's blatantly said it does not matter what the hell I've done in the minors already. I'm not getting a call up until this year because of service time.
I'm not coming up, or next year. You're not coming up until 23.
And even with a new GM, even with a new CEO, whatever this guy is, I'm still filing that grievance because I can say, well, look at my play last year. Yeah. Maybe I should have already been in the majors, or maybe I should have been bumped up already, but I wasn't. So this guy is screwing my career up.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, what this guy said doesn't shock me.
Okay.
This guy said what every GM thinks.
Mm.
You look at the Chicago Cubs situation with Chris Bryant and how they manipulated his service time so they could keep him under arbitration for another year and not have to pay him the money he really deserves. It happens everywhere. It's just this guy was dumb enough to say it when he was getting recorded. That's the sad thing.
How long was that thing? An hour and
10 minutes, I believe.
Hour and 10 minutes.
And also, I will add to Chris's here's the thing with my own here's the thing. You cannot, I mean, he did it, but you can't say the things you said when your league is made up of 30% of players that weren't born in the country you currently work in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30%, every third player, if you lined all of them up in a row, is not from where you're from. And you can't say it anyways.
Why?
But you really can't say it when your entire life depends on finding people outside of the country you live in.
Like, here's my thing. Why does it matter if someone's English sucks when it's their second language?
Well, it shouldn't.
Why are you bitching about paying $75,000 for an interpreter for a player to feel more welcome and feel better in a situation where things in this sport, and we've seen it before, get taken out of context? I mean, that's a quality of life thing. That's making this player's life easier which produces better on the field 9 times out of 10.
Transition to this country. That's what you want for your players.
And the cherry on top about this jackass is he was sipping out of a mug that said, "Women's lives are passion." When this man has sexual assault counts out the behind from what John Boy has reported.
Oh boy.
Lots of complaints on
harassment. All of that stuff.
They've worked their way past that, though. That's why he was allowed to stay, because he had learned from his past mistakes. I don't think so.
But I can't get away. This was to a Rotary Club. These aren't baseball people.
I know.
This isn't like other GMs. This isn't your scouts. This isn't former players. This isn't a podcast 30 years down the line when you're talking about a team you used to work for. This is to nobodies in the world of baseball that have any power.
Yeah.
And it's your current job with current play. Corey Seager found out his contract probably is not getting picked up next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, on this. Can you believe that?
Insane. Like, what? If I'm Corey Seager, I'm going, well, my money's guaranteed. I don't want to play this year. Yeah. If they're not going to pick me up, why do I play? I could spend time with my family.
It's ridiculous is what it is, what's come out of this. And, like, yeah. I mean – I don't know. I don't know why he thought that would be okay.
You know, I it's refreshing too to see John Stanton, who's the Mariners chairman and the managing partner. He didn't mince any words when he came out and said what he said after this occurred. Mm. He was straightforward. There was no, let's try to sugarcoat this and make it sound politically correct. He said, "I'm extremely disappointed. His comments were inappropriate. They did not represent our organization's feelings about our players, staff, or fans. There's no excuse for what he said, and I won't try to make one." That was refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
I offer my sincere apologies on behalf of the club and my partners to all our players and fans. We must be and do better. We have a lot of work to do to make amends, and that work is already underway. And I think that was reflective of the fact that he was immediately let go. And still they're making the decision as to whether or not he will be able to retain his small ownership in this team or not. I don't think it'll happen.
If I'm a player, I'm saying I'm not playing for you unless his ownership is gone. Because I don't want him to have any say. Whether it be a sliver, whether it be 0.001%, I don't want to be here if he's here. Yeah. Because he's talking about translator. This dude needed a dumbass interpreter.
Seriously,
like, you shouldn't say this.
Yeah, and the thing is like, there's most likely that was a rehearsed or pre-written thing. Nobody from Seattle's PR team had that run by them. Nobody thought to be like, let me just see what you're trying to go with.
I mean, as an organization, I'm going, you're talking to the media or you're talking to an appearance about our organization. I want to know. Yeah. Because he screwed them when it comes to a new TV deal, saying we're punching above our weight and probably getting paid way more than we should with our TV deal. Well, you've ruined that.
Oh, God. Could you believe he said that?
It was almost like he wanted this to be his last stand.
It seems so.
I got that vibe, too. I was like, this is a guy self-sabotaging to just
To be gone.
He wants
out. This is a great way to go. You're going out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah. You know, funny but terrible to say. I mean, you know, he said some things that you can interpret as funny, but when he was talking about the Oriental players, which we've got a huge influx of Japanese players here in the last 10 years that are highly influential in this league, tremendous ball players come from Japan. Yeah. And when he was talking about this kid, now I'm tired of paying the interpreter and whatnot, he said, yeah. And when I told him that, his English suddenly got better.
Oh.
How much of an asshole can you be?
No. It gets better. The second or first greatest player in your organization's history is Japanese.
Yeah. Ichiro Suzuki.
Yeah.
It still works for the team.
Yeah. You know who would be a really good CEO to hire?
Ichiro Suzuki.
That would be the man. Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Give him one. Yeah, that's nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Can you... It had to be. It had to be his last stand. He had to want this to occur, because I would like to believe that nobody can be that ignorant who stands in a position like that.
But unfortunately, this just shows the problem with baseball. And it's a deeper lying problem that'll never be fixed. He's bragging about how little money we spend.
Yeah.
And there's about 24 teams that have that same mentality. That's why baseball isn't popular anymore. There are teams going nickeling and diming their way because they see the Rays, who have an incredible success with it. They say, oh, we can do that too.
But that's their farm system. They've developed a solid farm system to feed that club. That's
people
why.
People forget that part of it. They forget the work part of it and just see the money part of it.
They just right. You got teams looking at going, oh, they don't pay a guy over $10 million. Why should we? Well, that's because we have a farm system littered with talent. And when we do make a trade, we're getting talent back.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got our eyes in our backyard when we're making our trade because we've got somebody to fill that spot. And that's what I said at the top of the show, guys, about, you know, me being unimpressed with me and my responsible media last week. But this is what has – the things that really – made me dislike the politics, the back story of baseball. I love the game. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love it. I love it. I always will love it. I'll continue to coach it until probably the day I fall dead on the field. But this kind of crap, it's embarrassing. It makes me hate professional baseball.
Can I lazily say that it was probably an old white guy in a room full of old white guys? And he felt comfortable.
You'd be perfectly correct.
That's probably very accurate.
Can I lazily say that?
I think so.
It's an easy way out, but I have a hunch.
Yeah, you're perfectly right. That's the funny thing.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right, guys. I'm gonna give you two topics. I'm gonna let you pick the one you want to talk about here next.
Sweet.
I want to talk about next season's collegiate football, or do you want to talk about the incident involving Tiger Woods this week?
I think the more pressing incident would be the Tiger Woods one.
Yeah,
I agree. Tiger Woods one, all right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the Tiger Woods incident. He was in a very, very bad accident that he was driving on a road that is notorious for folks driving at a high speed, very, very dangerous, curvy road that is problematic, very problematic in LA County. The sheriff's department said that they're giving people tickets there all the time. There's accidents there all the time. Everything. It's just very, very bad area. And yeah, it's another incident for Mr. Woods, which, by the way, let's just start it off. The deputy who responded and recognized the fact that it was Tiger Woods after he asked Tiger his first name and he said Tiger, he went, oh, okay. Then he looked at him and went, that's Tiger Woods. Said he was not impaired, said he was lucid, he was answering questions straightforward. He was traumatized physically from this accident. His legs were tore up. He said, but you could just spit on the fact there was no alcohol involvement here. Plain and simple, done.
Yeah, yeah, and it was really nice that the hospital kind of confirmed that too later on when they were they had to put out their statement.
That was everybody's fear, was he was taking painkillers for his back that's been recently, you know, operated on, or he was drunk, or he was on his phone, or he wasn't paying attention. It was just an accident.
Yep.
That's why they call him that.
And thank God he was wearing a seatbelt, because if he wasn't, they said he would have been dead.
Yeah.
You know, every time I hear some fool say, your seatbelt's going to kill you because all it doesn't let you move and it holds you in place and you get killed. Bull. 99 out of 100 times, it's going to do the right thing. There may be that one occurrence to where it really, really hurts the situation, but it's not often. That seatbelt saved his life.
I mean, I think it's, we all say, you know, thank God he's okay. He had, you know, a rod put in his tibia, I think. I think it was his tibia, not his fibia. And plates and screws in his ankles. Thank God he's okay. Mm-hmm. This is bigger than being an icon of sport. This is, you know, a person level. He's a dad. You don't want to hear anything bad happen to anybody. But he's okay. I don't really care when he comes play golf. I just want him to be healthy. Like I said, he's recently had that back problem, and I think he had surgery on it recently.
He did in December.
Yeah.
That makes me think, yeah, he was in an accident and his legs are screwed up, but what did that do to his back that he just got operated on?
You know what, too? Consider the fact, too, that, of course, the legs and driving of the vehicle, that you in your lumbar spine, where that injury is at, those nerves directly feed, you know, your nerve roots directly feed down to your extremities, your legs. And was there an issue there? Was there something that could have caused it? We're not going to know yet. Yeah. Maybe surgery will tell, which he's already had a number of them and will continue to get everything right with what's happened to him. But a single car rollover, 7:12 a.m. in Rolling Hills Estates, Rancho Palos Verdes.
Yeah, it's tough. It's nice in one sense that it looks like he's out of the clear and he's not in any life-threatening danger, you know, the surgeries and everything. But, I mean, he's 45, a history of knee problems, a history of back problems. This doesn't make anything any easier for him. No. And who knows what they did. Like, you know, Jen, my fiance got in a really bad car wreck and her legs got, I mean, blown to pieces. So she now has titanium in her legs. All right. Well, if he's got titaniums in his legs, maybe that helps him come back. Like, I don't know. I know it's weird to think about that, but like it's so strange to think that there's a scenario that could be in play where that car accident means that he will never play a round of golf again. I hope that's not true. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he's safe. I'm glad he's safe. I'm glad he's going to make a full recovery. I'm glad nobody was with him, like one of his kids or something.
Yeah, I'm glad Charlie wasn't in the car. Worse.
Yeah.
Or, he was 50 yards from the nearest house.
Yeah.
So it didn't involve anything else.
Exactly.
Let's see, what injuries? Comminuted open fractures of both the upper and lower portions of his right tibia and fibia, two main bones in the lower leg. Inserting rod into the tibia, Chris, as you had said. A combination of screws, pins to stabilize the injuries and bones in the ankle and foot. Additionally, trauma to the nearby muscles, soft tissues, of course, which when the swelling occurs to such an extent that I've had a lot of claims. I work in auto accidents where a lot of people have been in accidents. And because of the trauma to the soft tissue, they do what's called surgical release, where they have to actually cut your skin open and let swelling, essentially the muscles erupt to allow room for the swelling to come back down. So he had to undergo that as well, some surgical release of the muscles to reduce the swelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Glad he's okay. Hope he gets up and walking as safely and as quickly as possible.
The last thing I want to say about this is this, it's the sad truth, but also something that's good to come out of this is maybe now they'll start revisiting that road and going, hey, we got to do something about this.
Hmm.
It's sad that it took someone like of Tiger stature to for them to say, yeah, this has been happening, but it's also, and all these people potentially have died that have on that road, but it's also good that some good might come out of, hey, we got to do something with this road.
Yeah. Cause evidently it is something of a mess to where this is just common knowledge that this road is a death trap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I think that's been it for us. Yes. Do we have anything else?
Is there anything else you guys want to hit real quick? I mean, is there anything bigger? I think the biggest story of the week was the Woods accident. But how about Deion Sanders real quick? Opening game win, I think, what was it, 52-0?
Yeah, and then he got his wallet and his phone stolen.
Yeah.
And then but Troy Aikman came and saw him. People are already asking him if he wants to take the Florida State job. Great things happening for Deion already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
he's had his first win ever. He's had his Hall of Fame quarterback visit him. He's had his keys and his wallet stolen, and he's been asked if he's already moving to Florida State to the Florida State job, all within about 7 days of each other. So, welcome to the life of being a football coach, Dean.
Yeah, and give the man some time to show that he can do this. Though Chris was talking about it, Deion Sanders, if he were to be named Florida State head coach down the road, it might be a coup in the fact that name recognition, alumni, all that how powerful that could be to reinvigorate the recruiting there.
Sure.
And want, drive kids back to Florida State to what they were in the 80s, 90s, when they were in the top five for 13, 14 straight seasons. Yeah. It could, but let's give the man time to prove what he truly can be as a coach at first.
Yep, and it looks like by all counts through one game, through a couple games, he's getting there. He's got a lot of things he's got to figure out as a brand new coach.
Yep.
And one final thing, I saw a picture And I want to ask, this is the last thing I want to ask you guys before we end the show. I saw a picture from the Lakers of old.
Okay.
In that picture was a young D'Angelo Russell.
Sure.
A young Brandon Ingram.
Yep.
This is not the Lakers of old.
A young Julius Randle.
Yep.
And a young Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
Now, Clarkson, 18-4. Yep. Julius, a all-star, 23-10-6.
Yep.
Ingram, 23-5-5. D'Angelo Russell, 19-5.
Yep.
There was an argument. Would you rather have these guys on the Lakers right now?
Yeah.
Or have what happened? So I pose it to you guys. Would you have rather have kept this four together or gone the route that they did and win a title and have two of the best players in the league on the team?
Those four with LeBron or those four only?
Those four only.
No,
because
LeBron.
That's what it was. It was that was the team, and then this team was they were saying how bad it was that they were dismantled for a thing that might not work.
Yeah.
So would if you were in that situation, would you have kept this, or would you have started turning the wheels as to hey, we got a chance of getting LeBron, and then somebody else, and then maybe win a title?
I do this deal 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Yeah, because, I do too.
Because. The only reason why, well, all right, debatable phrase coming in. The only reason why these guys were able to get to the level that they're getting to now is because they're not in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Randle doesn't put up these numbers if he's still in L.A. Jordan Clarkson doesn't put up these numbers if he's still in L.A. D'Angelo, I think there's an argument for, because maybe there's an argument for D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. But these guys are going to get paid because they're not in LA anymore.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have what happened. Plus I get LeBron, I get AD and I get a ring. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to do that one.
Yeah. When I can get LeBron and AD, folks who could play across, you've got two players, LeBron that can play every position on the floor. And then you've got one who could play to 5, 4, and 3, even though he'd be a huge three. Nonetheless, you know, with that kind of talent and those two men, yeah, I leverage my future for them now because LeBron, though he has a good 5 years left in him, AD's still got 10 left in him. I take that, hand the torch, let it go, and still build around AD. I do it every time.
Yep. And this just shows what people used to knock the Lakers for. It's a lot of damn talent. And Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka deserve more credit than they got.
Agreed. Yes, they do. We're going to keep that for maybe next week.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's it for us. We appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. You can find us on Twitter as I'm hiccuping Sports Summit Pod. We're on Twitter. You can find all of our stuff on shootingthesportsish.com. You can go to all of our videos there as well. And you can hit up Chris at NattyLight2822 on Twitter. I am at CM Says Stuff. Coach doesn't have a Twitter because we won't let him have one. But other than that, I think that's it, right, guys?
Yep.
All right. We will always be responsible media.
We will. We will always be responsible media, and we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And this is the time where we have an awkward moment.